The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
Now, Emma Stiles joins me in studio. Sorry, I turned down my headphones there. And Emma's son, Luke, is the only child in Ireland who's been diagnosed with an extremely rare neurological condition called AADC. And Emma believes that a revolutionary gene therapy available in Poland could prove life-changing for little Luke. And she's here to tell us about Luke and all about this revolutionary gene therapy. Good afternoon, Emma.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thanks for coming in. So what age is Luke?
Luke is five.
Five. AADC, give us the technical, what does it mean?
Aromatic amino acid decarboxylase deficiency.
Right.
AADC is a bit easier.
Okay. And in layman's terms, how does it affect Luke?
It's quite similar to Parkinson's disease. So I like to refer to it as baby Parkinism. So Luke's dopamine and serotonin, he doesn't make them. The brain signals don't go to where they should be going. The way he's affected with this is he can't walk, talk, he can't eat orally, he's nonverbal, and he's completely dependent on everybody else around
him. Right, 24/7.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go back to the beginning then. Luke is your second child.
Yeah.
MJ is older by a year, is it?
Yeah.
Were they Irish twins?
Technically Irish twins.
Yeah, okay. So it was your second pregnancy. So
yeah.
How did they compare?
Well, MJ was quite active when I was pregnant, whereas Luke, he was a lot more laid back. He was a lot smaller. So there's quite a lot of scans being done. And they realised that there was increased resistance on Luke's umbilical cord. So you can imagine it's like a hose and somebody standing on the hose. So there's a restricted flow going through. Then at about 36 weeks or 34 weeks, my waters went slightly. So I was brought into hospital and I was going to be kept there until Luke came into the world.
Okay. But there was no, apart from that little umbilical cord thing, there was no hint that this was going to happen?
No.
So all the scans were reading normal?
They were, yeah, normal. Just that he was a bit small. But
right.
That was it, really.
Okay. So then he was born. How was the labour and all that?
I had to go for an emergency C-section. Luke's heart rate was on the borderline of normal to low. So the normal heart rate would be 110 at the lowest. And Luke was 109, 110. So we were just being a bit cautious with that.
Okay. And then he's born. And
then he was born.
Yeah.
And he was brought up to ICU straight after. He was kept up there for a week, and then a week after that, he was brought up to the high dependency unit then. And then he was brought down to the special care unit for 2 weeks. So he was in hospital for a month.
And what were they saying to you?
Just that he was premature. Like at the time, there wasn't any signs that there was anything going on.
So this is what they would normally do for a premature baby?
Yeah, yeah.
Which you, and you were fine with that, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't expect anything.
Okay.
To be wrong.
So you brought him home after how long?
After a month.
A month. Okay.
Yeah. So then when Luke was home, he was quite a sleepy baby. And I just thought that I was lucky because I know a lot of babies, they don't like to sleep or they'll be awake all night. But Luke was he was quite a good baby. He had quite a lot of reflux and he was quite congested a lot. So I went to various different doctors, but it was all put down to Luke being premature or to him being a newborn. That, you know, he just has reflux and he'll grow out of it and, you know, his nose, maybe it's just the time of year. You know, there is different reasons for everything. But no
reason to be alarmed.
No.
No.
It was at the 3 month checkup with the public health nurse. Then they said that Luke wasn't reaching his milestones. So we were going back and forth to the Coombe for various tests, for a lot of different blood tests and urine samples and stuff like that. Eventually, the day came when they found something. So I saw a doctor in the corridor and I knew by looking at her that there was something and she had something to tell me. So she brought us into the room.
Never a good sign.
Never a good sign. So she said that Luke would be brought into Our Lady's in Crumlin for further testing, that there's something came back positive in his urine and that they assume or they think that it's metabolic, but they need to do further tests to figure out what's going on.
Okay. So that's not good news at all.
No.
Yeah.
It's not knowing what's going to happen is the scary part, and seeing how small your baby is and wondering what type of life is.
And in comparing to Luke to MJ,
yeah,
at the same age, was he reacting and all that? Or?
Not necessarily. Like, Luke wouldn't really open both of his eyes. He'd kind of open one eye, but the other eye would be a bit droopy.
Right.
And I noticed that he was a bit cross-eyed as well, which I didn't think, do you know, anything of that. Mm.
And was he gurgling and all those little noises that babies make?
He laughed a lot.
Did he?
He laughed an awful lot, a lot more than MJ did.
Right.
Yeah, it was very cute. It was quite infectious.
Yeah. So then you're off to Our Lady's Hospital in Crumlin.
Yeah.
For more tests.
Yeah. So they perform.
And it's horrible to see your little baby getting tested.
Yeah.
You know, because they have to, obviously, take blood and all those sort of things, did they?
Yeah, he was put through quite a lot. They did a lumbar puncture on him. So that's where they take the fluid out of his spine. The first time that they did it, he held his breath and he went blue. So they had to stop completely. So then they tried it again and they got the fluid and it was sent off to some place in England. And it eventually came back then that he had aromatic amino acid decarboxylase deficiency.
Right. And of course, I suppose you and everybody else there knew nothing, if anything, about it.
Yeah. I shouldn't have Googled it, but I did Google it because
what did you find?
It was quite heartbreaking seeing all the different things.
And were you on your own at home Googling this AADC?
I remember I was in the hospital.
And you're on your phone?
Yeah.
My word.
I didn't want to believe that this is what Luke has. I didn't want to believe that this was going to be Luke's life. So I suppose for a sense I was in denial, thinking, no, it has to be something else, you know, it can't be.
So the fact that he wouldn't walk, wouldn't talk,
yeah,
wouldn't feed independently, would need 24/7 care.
Yeah.
All this was laid out in front of you on your phone in the waiting room of the hospital.
Yeah. And you're literally going through every single symptom and you're like, no, Luke doesn't do that. That doesn't happen to Luke. Luke can do this and Luke can do that. But like, each child is different with AADC. So Luke would be on the more severe side of how he's affected.
Okay. And what did they say to you then about the immediate future with him?
They don't really know too much about AADC over here because he's the only one
in the country.
In Ireland. They haven't had to treat anybody else. So we were referred over to Great Ormond Street in England. There was a consultant over there and she would have the most patients in Europe with AADC.
Like, how many are in the world?
There's roughly about 150 worldwide.
Minuscule amount.
Yeah. It's not.
And have they explained to you how he got it?
It's genetic.
Right.
So what happened was I have a dodgy gene and Luke's dad has a dodgy gene. So there's a chance, a 1 in 4 chance that it'll be passed on in pregnancy.
But it must be very rare if there's only 130.
Yeah, definitely rare.
Yeah. So there are people carrying it, very few people carrying it.
Yeah.
And then the likelihood of two of those people,
two carriers,
having a child is rarer again.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's no history, it hasn't, you know, manifested itself in any other way in, you know, the history of your family?
No.
No.
My grandfather had Parkinson's and I'm in a Facebook group with other AADC parents and it turns out actually a good few of their grandfathers on the mother's side had.
And have you said that to the doctors?
Yeah, but there's not.
There's no scientific link?
No.
No. Okay. So you're over to Great Ormond Street.
Yeah.
And then is there medication involved?
Luke takes 21 different doses of medication per day. So he's fed through a peg in his stomach. So at least he doesn't have to taste all the medication. And I know that he's getting everything that he needs.
Mm.
The medication itself has quite bad side effects. So it's on their adult Parkinson's medication.
Right.
So
because it's so rare.
Yeah.
Like unique medication for children hasn't been designed or whatever.
No.
Yeah.
And the side effects from that over long term is a lot of uncontrollable movements. So at night time, Luke would become quite jerky and quite twitchy. So he can see in his face how tired he is, but his body just won't let him sleep. So he would need heavy sedation, like chloral hydrate, diazepam and morphine.
To counteract the side effects of the other drug.
Yeah. So it's a vicious circle.
So he's five now. So how has life been like for you then over the last 5 years?
It's been really difficult. But it's also been quite eye-opening. Living kind of in a different world compared to everybody else. You know, like you never think of all these type of things until you're put in that situation.
Mm-hmm. And what have your eyes been open to?
Just like seeing how kind people are and all the services that Luke goes to. Like he goes to Stuart School, he's been involved with Jack and Jill, he's still involved with Laurelin. Mm. And just seeing how kind people are. Or, you know, even when you're walking down the street with the wheelchair, you have to really plan out your journey to make sure that, you know, there is ramps that you can get up where you can, you know, get across the road safely. There's a lot of different things.
Yeah. And of the 130, this is a sort of a cruel way of asking the question, but what age is the oldest person with AADC?
As far as I know, I think they'd be in their early 20s.
Okay.
On average, 3 children pass away with AADC.
Before the age of 10, like?
Yeah, right. Generally before the age of 10.
Right. Now, so you're in this community, a very small community, and you're swapping stories. And out of that comes this revolutionary gene therapy, which is available in Poland, I would imagine people are saying. So tell us about that.
So far they've done the therapy on 13 or 14 different children. And it's all gone really well. There hasn't been any complications so far, which is fantastic. But the operation itself takes 8 hours, and it's a brain operation. So they implant a vector into...
What's a vector?
I'm not 100% sure what it is, but...
Is it a piece of technology or...?
Yeah, it'll be something like that.
That gives out electrical impulses?
Something like that. Okay. So it would open up a motorway for Luke's brain signals to go to and forward where they need to go. So...
That's not happening at the moment.
It's not happening at the moment. So his body will be able to regenerate what he needs, which is fantastic.
Okay. So of the people, the 12, 13 people who've had the surgery, how has their life, their quality of life improved?
They've come off a lot of the medication. So one girl, she got it done at the start of September and she was on 21 doses of meds per day, like Luke, and she's down to 8 meds per day, which is fantastic. Mm. She's starting to move her hands purposely. She's holding her head up by herself, which she couldn't do before. There is a thing called an oculogyric crisis that is just a part of Luke's condition, but it can be quite painful for them. So what happens with that is Luke's levels of dopamine would start running out. So in a sense, his body is going into shutdown. So he would start looking upwards quite a lot. His eyes would just kind of be stuck. His breathing would become quite laboured, so he'd be working a lot harder. He'd drool a lot more, and Luke can't handle his secretions, so it can be quite difficult for him. His body becomes quite stiff, and he'd be in that for most of the day, basically. Okay. It'd be, I'd say, a good 7 or 8 hours.
Sounds horrific.
Yeah, it is. And he can't communicate when he's in that either. So when he does eventually come out of it, he's in a lot of pain and he is quite upset. So he would need a lot more sedation so that he'd be able to go asleep. And he would go into that 1 to 2 times per week.
And these vectors deal with that, do they?
It stopped the oculogyric crisis.
You mentioned they're communicating. How does he communicate?
He laughs and he smiles and he'll also give out to you if he's not happy about something.
How does he do that?
He'd be moaning at you.
All right.
Now he doesn't use words, but he can just, when you know Luke, you know what he's...
And has he got an eye gaze? Has he got an eye gaze computer?
Yeah, he has an eye gaze in school. So he's been using that and it's fantastic. So it's a form of communication and they also have like different games on it. So you look with your eyes and it
moves the cursor.
It moves the cursor, yeah. So I think it was yesterday Luke was... catching snowflakes on it, so he really, really enjoys it. He's really good at it.
And how is MJ about all this? He's only 6 now.
Yeah, he's a great big brother. He's really gentle and he's very sensitive to other people's feelings and everything. So he's been really good. He used to go over to Luke and start telling him different stories. So he'd, you know, hide Luke's face and say, "Okay, Luke, we're going through a deep dark wood now, and we're going to do this."
And that's registering, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, you can see Luke has like his face is just beaming.
Right. So he's understanding, is he? Is
he understands. I kind of think of it like a locked-in syndrome.
Oh, right. Oh, God.
That he knows exactly everything that's going on. I'd say he knows everybody's secrets at this stage. Mm. So when he does eventually talk, I'm going to have to be very careful of what I say.
And there is a hope. You have a hope that he will talk.
A massive hope, yeah. This is going to change his life drastically. So one day he will be able to walk and he will be able to blow out his birthday candles and he'll be able to open his Christmas presents. So, yeah.
All right. So these things cost money. That's the reality of the world we live in. And it's available in Poland, also in America. The Polish clinic is where you want to go, and it's going to cost you 70,000 euro.
Yeah.
An awful lot of money. And our system isn't set up to pay for that.
No, because it's still classed as a trial.
Right.
The HSE, unfortunately, they won't fund that.
Okay, so you have to fund it yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. And how are you going about doing that?
There's been various benefit nights held on, you know, pub quizzes, football tournaments, sponsored walks, coffee mornings. There was a pole charity showcase held there at the weekend.
A which?
A pole fitness.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Pole dancing.
Yeah.
All right. Right.
Yeah. We raised quite a lot of money from that, which is, it's right. fantastic. So even if somebody would like to, you know, do backpacking or host a coffee morning themselves or do a gym challenge. Or
which the easier way is you have, it's not a GoFundMe, it's the other one.
It's
called?
It's JustGiving.
JustGiving.com.
Yeah.
And you can go JustGiving.com fundraising/ Emma Stiles, and that's STYLES3.
Yeah.
And people can go directly to there and donate.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you doing with the, how long have you been fundraising?
Since August.
Right.
So it took off quite well. Then it quietened down for a little while, and then it just comes in waves. So we've reached 30% today, which is amazing.
Right.
We still have a long way to go.
So that's by my calculations, and I shouldn't do maths on air, but you need about another 50,000.
Yeah.
Right. 150,000 euro. Okay. So we have the details up on our website too, but justgiving.com/fundraising/ Emma Stiles 3. So your hope then is, what's your hope?
To get Luke to Poland. Yeah. To give Luke.
And then the other side of that then. Let's assume you do get him to Poland.
That he'll have a proper childhood and he won't be surrounded by nurses and carers, and he'll be able to go out and play football with his big brother, or, you know, run sticky hands along my walls. So.
And have other people who've gone through this, they've managed to do that, have they?
They have. Right. Now, it is still in early stages.
Yeah.
But one girl that got it in San Francisco last year, she's learning how to walk.
Right.
So there is massive hope there. It's Luke's only hope.
Yes. It's life-changing.
Definitely.
Okay. We'll remind people of that before the end of the show. Thanks so much for coming in. I know that was Sophia. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
And give Luke a big hug for us when you go home, and MJ.
Great. Right. And thanks so much to everybody for all the donations and all the support that you've shown us. It's been really great.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.